Hello, welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns, and I've got Andrew White in the studio with me today. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, John. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for coming along. Now, you promote the TV station, the channel, Walks Around Britain. And I think that's about encouraging people to get out and walk at whatever sort of level they're comfortable at. But I think I'll let you tell me what Walks About Britain is about. That'd be the easiest way of doing it, I think.
Well, Walks Around Britain is kind of unique because it's a website. It started out as a website initially, and then we started to make podcasts and also then short videos about walks, which we put on the YouTube channel. And then from there, it grew into a TV series. And the TV series is probably where most people find us. And then from the TV series, we've now got our own subscription style, like a Netflix for walking subscription service, which we make at least one program for every month. So it's about trying to promote people to get walking, to inspire people to get walking, but it's also to give more people who are walkers a greater variety, because I think we go to lots of places where traditionally walking isn't known for.
Right. So you're the equivalent of a TV guide, really. Is that a good way of describing it?
Yeah, I mean, we had a look at other programs and decided that we wanted to do something different. So we have, when we were coming up with the style of the program, we came up with six rules which we stick to, and those are, I think, make it a unique, the different sort of style of program that it is, because we're not. It's not fronted by a celebrity. Right. It's not fronted by somebody who's just been, because you get these programs where a presenter comes on a journey, don't they? They always seem to go on a journey somewhere, yeah. Metaphorically and physically.
Absolutely.
So we don't have any of that kind of stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but not what we do. But we also wanted to make sure that when we did the TV series, that it really annoys me when you see programs where the presenter gets to go in places that normal people can't because they're on telly, and again, I don't, some of those sort of things are nice, to see inside the various stuff that you wouldn't get to see in that, but it sort of struck me that this is kind of not the sort of thing that we should be doing on a walking program, because the whole idea of a walking program surely is that you guys watching can do what I'm doing. Now, if I go into a tower or a tunnel or an old building or something that you can't go into, then right, I've already taken myself away from everybody else who's walking.
Yes, yes.
You see what I mean?
So that
seemed to me to be a logical thing that we can only do on the TV series what anybody could do.
I see.
And by doing those, it's those sorts of little things that I think maybe traditional telly doesn't kind of think about, that sort of brings us, I hope, closer to the viewer, because I think the viewer looks at this and goes, I can do this, because there's nothing in here that where the presenter has said, we're going in here just because we're on telly, which then, as I say, it's a them and us situation. We want to be with you, with the viewer.
Yeah.
We're holding their hand and pulling and bringing the viewer along, as opposed to saying, you have to stay out there now because you can't come in. you can't come into this bit apart from because I'm on telly, you see.
Well, what would be a typical walk, or what are the kind of people that the audience, if you like, that you're aiming for? Is it the hardened walkers or the long distance walkers, or is it more ramblers? Where do you see yourself pitching the walks that you're doing?
Well, when I was doing the research for the whole of this, it came to my mind that people who weren't general walkers looked at around a sort of a 7 or an 8 mile walk as being very big. Now, of course, the length of walk is only one part of how the walk affects you, isn't it? How you can do it and whatever. So we all know that we've got you've got the terrain, obviously, that to take into account. You've got the weather conditions at the time and all of those kinds of things. So it seemed to me to be, let's put a yardstick of saying 2 to 8 miles. Miles was what I could film in a day. So if I was traveling, so it was that I'm in Doncaster, right, in South Yorkshire. So it came, which is a great place to be because it's pretty central. I mean, I can get up to Fort William in 7 hours, and I can get down to, you know, parts of Cornwall in 7 hours too. So it's from a central location to be going all around the country. This is a perfect place to be. So it seemed to me to be good. I could get to the lakes, for example, film an 8 mile walk and come back. It would be a long day, but I could do that. So that seemed to be a, you know, physically and logistically challenging thing to be able to say, right, 8 miles. And it also, as I say, kind of linked in with what people were saying. Well, 8 miles, that seems to be a long walk. So that way you could say, right, from 2 to 8 miles, there's lots of variation in there. So you can get up, you know, he says you can get up to some quite good summits in the lakes, or, you know, in parts of Scotland in sort of 4 or 5 miles.
Right.
But you can also have a really easy on the flat 8 mile walk. You know,
so you're really aiming to get at people who are already walking and perhaps want to sort of widen the horizons a little bit. But also it sounds like you're also trying to get or to encourage people who haven't quite got that confidence, or perhaps don't even know they want to walk, to get out into the countryside and begin walking, which is obviously a great thing for everybody's health and for our general well-being. What do you think are the barriers to people who aren't walkers and find the idea of even just going for one walk in the countryside daunting?
Well, it's really interesting because when you look at walking and you think everybody should be doing this, because there is literally, you know, from a walker's perspective, a person who goes walking already, what barriers are there? There can't be any barriers, surely. And it's only when you start to step back from that and you think, well, actually, there's quite a lot of barriers. And I think some of it is in the mind of the person who's got the barrier. Some of it is promoted by the outdoor industry in general. And I've been sort of, a vociferous and passionate campaigner against some of what the outdoor industry's practices are, because it's always, when you look at if you open a magazine and all the adverts, very, very often the adverts are always in some sort of mountain area. You know, they're always promoting this kind of active outdoor lifestyle, of which necessarily isn't what everybody wants. You know, I mean, there was a campaign a couple of years ago called Sofa to Summit, and you think there's so many of the people who watch my program that would just put them off. Now, I know it's well-meaning and I know it's alliteration on the S, but there's many people just don't want to go to summits. And because the outdoor industry is basically run by people who are mountaineers and those kinds of people, you know, people doing gill scrambling and all that kind of stuff, brilliant, but they just don't seem to be able to see that the vast majority of the population don't want to do that. And because they're promoting this outdoor ethos of that kind of a lifestyle, it's putting a lot of people off. And even the programs that you see on television that are walking based put a lot of people off, because they don't go to the, they don't show that walking is necessarily, well, my phrase is all mountains and mint cake is what what it's always about, because it's you very rarely see a walk on the flat. You very rarely see a walk that's just outside a major town or a city, or inside a town or a city. And these are the realities that actually have come more to the fore during lockdown.
Yes,
because we've still been able to be filming, because the walks that we can do are walks that you can actually do. Whereas other people have had to stop filming, not just because they can't film in the style that we film and the way that we have our crews, but also because you can't go, you know, you can't really be going onto the lake, onto the fells, filming a walking program when you're telling everybody else that it's dangerous to go up there because of, you know, the risk of bringing mountain rescue people out, you know. So what we're trying to do is to promote that walking is for everybody and it's everywhere. And I think that's quite unique.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right in the sense that lockdown has made us look a lot more carefully about the sort of local areas that we've got. I mean, as you're probably aware, at this stage in lockdown, where are we? We're in early June right now. And obviously, Scotland and England are a slightly different stages in this. But certainly in Scotland, we're not, well, I wouldn't say not allowed, but we're
strongly encouraged not to go more than 5 miles.
Strongly encouraged. That's right. Yeah. That's right. I don't know whether that includes imprisonment, but that's a fairly strong encouragement not to go anywhere. And certainly, like I went up there's a hill above Inverness, Craig Fadrick, and that's about, I don't know, 3 mile walk or whatever. But I went up there for the first time yesterday, and I've lived in Inverness for about 30 odd years. So having to look for places that you wouldn't ordinarily walk is what it's going to do. But I mean, there's been a lot of controversy, as I'm sure you're well aware, within the press and media recently, as lockdown has been eased in England. There's been an almost uncontrollable explosion of folk going out to the countryside, and they're heavily criticised for leaving litter and doing all that sort of stuff. So, how do you think it's going to work as we move out of lockdown? Maybe you can only talk about England, but what do you think? What changes do you think we're going to see to, I guess, what you would call, you know, the average Joe public walker, the rambler, maybe the person who's doing the easier walks? Do you think there'll be changes as we come through as we come out of the virus?
I hope that what it's going to be is that we're going to have much more of an appreciation of what's on our doorstep. You know, I think we've seen in the local area around Doncaster a lot more people than what we recognise. You know, I mean, we've got normal dog walks. We've got 4 dog border collies. So we go and our normal walk on the park or in the woods, the various woods nearby. And we've seen a hell of a lot more people than we ever realised, you know, remembered, because we normally see the same people. Right. So they must be people who have started going walking locally because they usually go walking further afield, perhaps, or maybe they'd normally have their exercise in the gym or whatever, and they've gone walking instead. So hopefully that's a long term thing that we can still foster later on. I think it's also shown that there's a lot of people who have gone to these kinds of honeypot areas in England, especially, that have got no concept of what the outdoors is.
Yes.
You know, and I did see something on Twitter that there was some sort of poll. I don't know how this has been, whether it's true or not, but there was a sort of 60 or 70% of the people who visited the lakes last weekend were first-time visitors or something. And you sort of think, this is very, very dangerous, because obviously if you don't know how to conduct yourself in the outdoors, you could end up with these kinds of problems. So I think that it's hopefully it's got a good legacy. I think there's a lot more people cycling, which is good. So hopefully there's some long-term benefits that we can get out of that, and the ability to sort of see what's on our local patch.
Yeah, I think that there's always a tension in the outdoors, I feel, between, yes, I mean, under normal circumstances, if what we were seeing was an explosion of people who didn't normally go out into the countryside, going out in the countryside, we'd actually say, well, that's a really good thing, because we're getting the people we didn't want, who didn't realise what potential the outdoors has, out into the outdoors, and that's a good thing. And then of course you get the kind of reaction And it's both these viewpoints are both valid, really. You know, the reaction essentially of people, I suppose, like you would have to call the, very broadly speaking, the outdoor community, who kind of resent and are afraid, I think, that the influx of new people, if you like, will kind of destroy the very thing that they value and respect and kind of treasure in the outdoors. Does that make some kind of sense?
It does, and it goes back to an anecdote that I trawl out ever so often of a writer. I suppose an old writer friend, because he's no longer a friend after I said this to him, but he wrote guidebooks and he was based in the lakes, and right. He once said something mentioning no names, and he mentioned, he said, you know, oh, it's taken, this was years ago now, and he said, oh, it's taken me, you know, sort of 3 hours or something to get from A to B, you know, and it's sort of full of tourists. I said, well, are they tourists who are coming to the lakes and buying your book? You know, buying your guidebooks to walking in the lakes then, you know, and you can't have it both ways, can you? You can't say, well, we're going to promote these areas with guidebooks and with websites and with great tweets and stuff like that, and then say to the people, well, you know, we don't want this many people here. But the infrastructure doesn't exist to have that many people, you know, and we saw also those photographs of, you know, the narrow lakes roads, yeah, with cars parked on both sides with no way of getting through with anything larger than wider than a normal car.
Yeah.
And it depresses me, because you when you see, you know, for example, you've got places like the Yorkshire Dales, and then next door to it you've got the Nidderdale area of outstanding natural beauty, mm-hmm, and which shares a lot of the similar landscape. You know, Nidderdale doesn't have a lot of the same mountains, obviously, or the sort of the peakish areas.
No.
But it does have a lot of green space and a lot of lovely green space, which is, yeah, why it's an AONB. And yet people will drive straight through it to get to the sign with the ram's head and go straight through, you know, the sheep's head and go into the Dales, you know, and you think, well, why? You've just driven through some great areas to go walk in there.
I think it's one of the great sort of challenges that we face, really, because, you know, the hills and the opportunity to go walking belongs to all of us. And I think that also, you know, you cannot say really to people, well, I enjoy walking and I like going places, but actually you can't do that because there's too many of you. That doesn't work, really. And there's also the other side. Sorry, go on.
That sort of thing goes back to the same episode. That sort of thing goes back to the same attitude of the kinder mass trespass, doesn't it? You know, I mean, that sort of, we've got the land, and the land is now ours, uh-huh, and you can't go and walking on it, you know. So, but the point is that there is a lot of people in this country, and we know we're sort of densely populated, but there are, you know, fantastic areas of open countryside that you can go walking, and even in the outskirts of towns and cities, in the suburbs. Yes. Plenty of great walks between villages and hamlets and things like that.
Yeah.
Pardon me. So I think that you know, it's about trying to spread that message. And of course, you know, as soon as a walking magazine has a little bit of a circulation dip, they put an image of the Lake District on the or Scotland on the front, or Cornwall, you know, and it because that's the most popular places, you know. So, but it is about sort of saying, Where are the other places that we can sort of spread this net of walking and try to give some relief, you know, and spread the benefits, because obviously there's a huge economic benefit from going walking, you know, to these areas. So we can spread that to a different area. And if we can get more people out walking, obviously, you know, the big challenge with things like national parks is that it's okay saying about this, you know, people going there and all this kind of thing, but you know, there's a huge amount of the population who can't access the national parks because they can't get public transport into it. Sure. They're always difficult, you know. Maybe that's a problem, but if they've got a car, that you know, it's £8, £9, £10 a day parking. you know, and we've got that issues in the national park, which is obviously supply and demand, and that has a problem. But then at the same time, they go down to the local shopping mall, you know, the out-of-town shopping mall, and it's free parking. You know, so you've got this dichotomy between the consumer society of going to a, you know, Meadow Hall or Metro Centre or Maryhill or whatever to buy more stuff that you don't need to throw, which will eventually get thrown on a dump, you know, a landfill. But yeah, yet, if you're going to go and out, you know, do something positive and access the outdoors, you've got to be paying £10 because that's how much the national park needs to get off you and to regulate demand.
Yeah, I mean, I do wonder whether the way we've used the outdoors so far might have to be almost like completely way rethought, like in like, you know, a lot of aspects of our life, I think, as a result of the virus, are going to have to be looked at again. How we behave in public places, how we socialize, and I think how we use our leisure time in the outdoors also might have to be rethought. I mean, you know, I would be delighted if tomorrow this was all over and we could go back to the way we were, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I think what your point really about the open spaces that are accessible from larger towns and cities, those areas therefore are accessible to the vast majority of the population. And you know, it may become more and more difficult for us to travel to places like Snowdonia, places like the Lake District, places like the Highlands. This may be difficult in the past. So I think the challenge may be how we get people to enjoy, but enjoy responsibly, those local areas which have the sort of potential that you're talking about.
I agree, but I think that if we're talking about trying to get more people outside and enjoying the countryside, my experience is that those people who are sitting on the settee now are more likely to want to stay localish, and they're more likely to enjoy their own local area than saying, suggesting that they are going to travel from Wolverhampton to the Highlands to do some walking, as good as the Highlands are, you know. But it's about trying to say, where can we fit all of these people? Where, how can we get them all out of homes and off the settee and get them out doing a walk? You know, I mean, we all know that the great significant health benefits that there would be for this country if we could get people walking 3 miles a week.
Absolutely.
You know, and you think, well, 3 miles a week is doable for virtually everybody in this country. And we can do that by changing the way that we promote our message, you know, because I'm a big one for going for walking, obviously. But at the same time, we kind of demonize people for going in cars places.
Yeah.
And my sort of thing is that, well, we really need to be saying, right, OK, we do need to reduce car use. And this is going to be a huge challenge when we come out of this COVID situation, because obviously what we're saying is don't use public transport yet. You know, it's not safe. And you think, well, this is not exactly a good green climate emergency message to be having, is it? We've got to square this circle somehow.
Yeah.
But it's about trying to say, right, well, where are we going to get these people out walking? And, you know, in the local area is the best way to do it. And you know, I travel a lot in my car because I've got a life which has revolved around me having a car.
Yeah.
You know, and changing that is very difficult. I'm not saying it's you know, it can't be done. And I'm sure if I was more conscientious, I could change everything and do things differently. But it's about trying to see how people can put that into a context, isn't it? You know, so it's a lot easier to say to people, right, try not to use your car as much. I mean, what I do is that now, since we went into lockdown, we decided to get our milk delivered. So having milk delivered, that's good because it's a local thing. It's better for the, it's in bottles, which is fantastic. The kids love it because they think that, you know, that they're calculating how much plastic that we're not using, and we're not contributing to the problem, which is brilliant. But it also means that we're not going out every so often to the local shop to buy a load of other crap that we don't need at the same time. Because you always do, don't you? You never go to the shop to buy one thing, the one thing that you need. You go back and you come out with a load of sweets and everything, you know. So it's like, so that actually is a good thing, because we're not actually driving to the local shop. So that's one thing that we've changed. We've done that. But I think to suggest to people that actually, instead of walking to work or in when that might be not convenient for people, but if you said, well, actually, on your day off, if you went for a 3-mile walk with your family, it's the best thing you could do, Tim, for your health, for your general health, your physical health or your mental health. If we can push those messages out, then I think we've got a good chance of getting real change. And especially because I think a lot of people have gone walking for the first time during this crisis.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that the people who have gone walking, I mean, I think, as you say, a lot of people whose social life, say, would have been to go for a pub lunch on a Saturday or something like that. They can't go for a pub lunch, so they go and have a picnic. And to be fair, you know, what you don't realise is that you kind of have to learn how to use the outdoors. And if you're not familiar with it, yeah, OK, people will leave a lot of litter about, which we all dislike. But to be honest, I think you have to accept that for a lot of people, getting outdoors is going to be a bit of a learning curve. And we all make mistakes on learning curves. I certainly do. Are your projects then exclusively, I suppose, what you would call, I don't know, they're beyond social media, aren't they? I don't know, in the media of effectively television, or have you completely abandoned the written word then?
No, I mean, I like to do some writing when it's possible. You know, I'm writing a book at the moment, a guidebook to the Yorkshire Wolds Way, for a publisher that you know well, and that's going well at the moment. It's slow going.
It will be, I'm sure.
Which is not helping, but it's getting there. And we're making another TV series called Walks Around Yorkshire.
Oh, right.
And I've written a book I've written a book of the walks that we're going to be doing in that series as well. So that should be coming out alongside the TV series. So I enjoy writing. I generally enjoy the thing that I'm not doing at the time, if you know what I mean.
Yes,
I always look forward to the next one that I'm doing of the different things. So if I'm editing the TV program, I think, do you know what? Wouldn't it be great if it was just a podcast? I don't bother with these visuals. And then when I'm doing the podcast, I think, wouldn't it be great just to be writing this down, you know? And then when I'm writing, because I'm sort of mildly dyslexic, I often get to a point where I think, how do I spell that word? And then I have to go to Google on my phone and say it to it.
Yeah, don't worry, I'm not dyslexic, and I have to do that all the time as well.
Yes, my problem is I'm that bad with the spelling that I can't type it into the word processor get it to understand what I'm trying to say, even to spell it properly. So it's
I've got
to say it.
Absolutely. It's been fascinating talking to you, and it sounds like you've got an awful lot of projects on the go, and I think some valuable stuff to do. So when's your next TV project or your next walk coming out then?
Well, we're filming walks all the time now. We used to film them in seasons. And then so we used to make a season of programs, like 7 programs, and then there's 2 walks in each, so we'd film 14 walks and we'd make a season. But now what we're doing, because we've got the subscription service Walks Around Britain Plus, we make a walk every week, we make a program every month with the 2 walks in it, so we're constantly making it all the way through the year now. I've got a special which I'm filming shortly, which is about the Trans-Pennine Trail.
Okay.
Which again it goes back to that kind of, you know, everybody knows the coast to coast, and that's brilliant. But at the same time, the Trans-Pennine Trail, which does the same job but in a different part, you know, slightly lower down, is a very different kind of trail, you know, because a lot of it is multi-user. Yeah, a lot of it goes on old railway lines, and a lot of it is very accessible to a vast amount of people. You know, so we're doing a special series about that as a big trail.
So if some of our listeners then they want to go and look at some of the walks that you have filmed in their areas, where would they actually go to? What website or how would they access your TV shows?
The easiest way is to go to the website, which is walksaroundbritain.co.uk, and then you can click on there to all the various, you can see the various TV channels that have got it on, and obviously if you're a subscriber to Amazon, then you can see it on Amazon Prime as well. So there's lots of places where it's available, but the website is the easiest place to go to.
That's the best place to start. Well, that's fascinating stuff, and I wish you all the best with your guidebooks, and maybe you might even get a chance to go walking with you one day at some point.
That would be super.
Okay, Andrew White, thank you very much. Bye bye.
You're very welcome. It's been lovely.
Okay, take care.